When you hear about the 1959 Broadway musical Juno at all, what you're likely to hear about are the problems. Juno, you see, was a famous Broadway flop. And any self-respecting theater maven knows more or less why the Mark Blitzstein, Joseph Stein musical didn't succeed. It was dark, very dark material for Broadway, and the production was wildly uneven.
When you make a huge turn in a popular art form, who's behind the steering wheel?
Lawrence Maslin, author and theater historian, has his theory.
My Fair Lady had Moss Hart as a director. West Side Story, Gypsy, had Jerome Robbins. Juno, unfortunately, didn't have a good person at the driver's seat. And I think that is really 90% of the story of why it didn't work.
Mrs. Tancred!
I tells you, they had me lifting bags of cement all the day and half the night.
So, Juno was about war, betrayal, despair, and death. And it had no great director at the helm. It closed after 16 performances on Broadway in March of 59. Why bother with it, then? Because of what it did have, a rich, complicated score by Mark Blitzstein, and a book adapted from a popular 1920s Sean O'Casey play set in Civil War-torn Ireland. It had a social lineage, if you will, beginning with O'Casey, whose subject was invariably the trials of the everyday lives of working people.
Ah, them was the days. Nothing was too hot or heavy for me then. Sailing from the Gulf of Mexico to the Antarctic Ocean.
That's the playwright himself, reading a section of the 1924 play, Juno and the Peacock, recorded in 1952.
I often looked up at the sky and asked myself the question, what is the stars? What is the stars?
O'Casey was the man of the people. He was the original kind of soulful person who stood with the poor people whose homes were destroyed in the course of a war, the people who got left behind, the people who were suffering. It's very hard to read any of his plays now, his major Dublin trilogy, and not think about Iraq and the people left behind in the wake of a catastrophe not of their own making.
The story of a poor family trying to live in Dublin in the midst of civil war was appealing to Joseph Stein and Mark Blitzstein, who were, in turn, trying to make serious Broadway musical theater during the Cold War. And really, what has lasted is the music, captured on an original cast album made by Columbia Records in the days when even a flop could be preserved for history. Mark Blitzstein, who'd written The Cradle Will Rock, No for an Answer, Regina, and other offbeat, mostly political music dramas, could always be counted on for some gnarly, inventive songs. Some of them downright operatic.
I like to think of Blitzstein as sort of the proto-Sondheim of his era.
Music director and pianist Eric Stern.
He was very interested in finding unusual and less trod solutions to the problems of writing. Here's what you would expect to do. Here's what I'm going to do. And the fact is, it all seems logical and right, but it's not the easy choice.
Some of the songs from Juno have not just survived, they've flourished.
I've an unrest inside me. Oh, it's long I have had such an unrest inside.
Singer Dawn Upshaw used I Wish It So for the title tune of a CD a few years ago.
I've an unrest inside me. Oh, it's long I have had such an unrest inside.
At the piano was Eric Stern.
And it's getting real bad.
I Wish It So is one of those songs that you feel like it was plucked out of thin air whole. It doesn't show any signs of work, which, of course, belies its intricacy. There's always tension in the harmonies that give you that feeling of wanting.
For I wish it so, what I wish I still don't know.
He did not want things to be pleasing in conventional ways.
Stephen Blyer especially likes another Juno song, Bird Upon the Tree, a song about weathering the storm.
Upon a tree, its foot was caught.
A lot of Blitzstein's music is about weathering storms, actually, about going through stuff and surviving.
Could not be free.
This is the cast album version. On Blyer's more recent song collection, with William Sharp and Karen Holvik, it's done as more of a concert song. Because, Blyer contends, that is what it is.
It is really a faux folk song, very pristine and very open. And in its own spare way, quite surprising.
But for all of the deep content and cherished melodies, you still couldn't say Blitzstein, who died in 1964, is generally known and loved.
One reason I think he hasn't caught on in a common sense is that he can't be jazzed. You know, a Richard Rodgers tune is indestructible. You can do it in a Pops concert version. You can do it with, you know, some whiskey voice at 2 a.m. It still survives. Blitzstein is, in a sense, more classical. You sort of have to do what he wrote.
Which brings us back to the problems. Juno, in addition to everything else, was musically uncompromising and complex, which only adds to its mystique and to the reputation of the curious Mr. Blitzstein.
He's like a cubist. You know, it is a woman's face, except the nose is on the side and the ears are under her chin. But it is a gorgeous melody. It's just not a melody that Irving Berlin would ever have written.
You can't say anybody is Blitzstein-like. It doesn't exist. And in an era where we are surrounded by great gobs of things that all sound alike, it's refreshing and sort of kickstarts the soul to go hear something that is actually unlike anything else.
Which is why great failures can be so fascinating. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.